David Thompson's a film critic. He's written many books about the movies, including the new Biographical Dictionary of Film. Thompson's new book is called Have You Seen? A Personal Introduction to 1,000 Films. As he told Steve Paulson, this book is not a list of the 1,000 greatest films.
I don't believe in saying any list is the greatest. I think a list is a personal thing. It's a matter of taste. The films, even if I were to make a list of 1,000 films that I hand on heart believe are the greatest films ever made, it would still look as personal and as idiosyncratic as this list does. I think the movies are a place where we're all critics, we're all experts. I often say when I'm talking about this thing that if I come forward and introduce myself to you, or I'm introduced to you as a brain surgeon, anything I say you're going to accept with enormous reverence. And if I say, you know, you've got a twitch in your lower eyelid, I think you should have a CAT scan, you're going to go and have a CAT scan because I'm a brain surgeon. If I'm a film critic and I say, for instance, I thought Slumdog Millionaire was awful and you liked it, you're going to be indignant and you're going to say, I liked it. And you're going to feel that you have every right to come back at me and say, well, that's just your opinion, and you're dead right, because that's all it is, and that's all that critics offer. Sometimes some critics have an eloquence and a depth of knowledge that may persuade you, and those are, I think, the really good critics. And also they write so well, perhaps, that they get you to see a film that you might not have thought of seeing otherwise. But it's not a question of being right and being wrong.
Well, it does raise the question, though, of how you happen to choose these 1,000 films. What were your criteria?
Well, I chose the films I wanted to write about. And, you know, for me, I do the writing. It's quite hard work. And I don't really want to write about too many films that bore me. So I started writing about films I like, not necessarily films I like more than any other, but films that I would happily and cheerfully recommend to other people. And I started just doing that, and I began to accumulate. And then I thought, well, this book has a danger of being one rave after another. And as a book that people are going to read, I don't want that. I wanted to have more variety. So I thought, well, you know, there are films that many, many people consider wonderful and important and absolutely essential and would have to be in your 1,000, like The Sound of Music, which would not be in my 1,000.
You don't really like The Sound of Music, do you?
I don't really like it, but so what, you know? But I knew that many people would expect The Sound of Music in the book, so I put it in the book, and I say that I don't like it very much. And again, I think people can take that or leave it. They can deal with it as they like. But what it means is that this is a book with a lot of films I do like. There are probably three quarters of the films in this book are films I like a lot. Certainly my favorite 50 are all there, but there's also something like a couple of hundred that I think are important historically without necessarily ever having won my favor.
Well, I have to ask you about the very first film that you write about, and you've arranged this alphabetically, so we start with the A's, and it's the 1948 film Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
It tells you a lot about the way I approached the book, I think. When I was well on in the work, I had a list already, a working list of how many films, and I showed it to a few people, friends, film buffs, film authorities, because I was always afraid that I was going to leave out something very, very obvious, because I hadn't gone about this list totally systematically. And I showed it to a friend, Michael Barker, who works for Sony Classics and is one of the great distributors of independent films in this country. And he looked at the list, and the first film on the list was Abe Lincoln in Illinois. And he said, David, I open this big book, and the first page I see Abe Lincoln in Illinois. And he said, are you crazy about Abe Lincoln in Illinois? And I said, well, Michael, no, I'm not really crazy about it. It's a worthy film. It's okay. I think anyone could see it with a little value. But, you know, it just happens that alphabetically my list presents that as number one. And he said, David, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping your book. You need on that first page something that will surprise people and something that will go to the heart of the book and your whole passion for movies. Something, it might be great, it might be crazy. It's sort of one of the two, but it's something extreme. And I knew he was right. It was dead right. And so we got out an almanac that has got pretty well every film in it, Leonard Maltin's invaluable guide, because we needed something that would fit alphabetically. What did we find but Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein? And with one voice, we said, that is it, because that is not perhaps a great film, but it is so movie-like, if you know what I mean. That's what the movies do. They do stupid things like Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Count Dracula sleeps in this coffin, but rises every night at sunset. Chick is right. This is awful silly stuff.
The nation's top comics, Abbott and Costello. Petrified, but hilariously. Stop! Plus the dangerous and terrifying Wolfman, played by Lon Chaney. Plus that fiend out of a nightmare, the vampire Batman, Count Dracula, played by Bela Lugosi. Plus the most dreaded creature of them all, the Frankenstein monster, played by Glenn Strange. In the spookiest laugh fest on record.
And I wrote what I hope is a funny piece about that. And I think it gives people immediately, if they go to the first page, it gives them the sense of the fun that there is in this book.
And it is a fun entry. I mean, the whole notion of Abbott and Costello clashing with these monsters. It's sort of a ridiculous premise that, is kind of enjoyable.
And an awful lot of movies have totally ridiculous premises. Slumdog Millionaire does, if you think about it. By the way, I quite like Slumdog Millionaire, so don't go away with the feeling I'm not keen on it.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You've already said that your book is not just the great movies. There are some kind of schlocky movies in there as well. What do you think is the most overrated movie in your book?
Well, that's a wonderful question. You know, in a funny way, and please don't misunderstand me, the most overrated film ever made is the most highly rated film ever made, Citizen Kane, which has now reached a point where it automatically wins every poll there is. It's won the Sight and Sound critics poll for God knows how many decades in a row. And there, I think, is a film that has become a white elephant. It's something that is so vast, so enormous, no one actually looks at it anymore, and no one has the emotional experience of seeing it afresh. I think it would be a very good thing for the film if it was withdrawn for a few years and then brought back. It's often very valuable for a thing not to be capable of being seen. It makes us desire it all the more. That's a principle of cinema in itself. The thing that you don't quite show in a film becomes enormously powerful.
Well, you've already talked about your reluctance to mention greatest films and to come up with lists of greatest films, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you have a list of maybe the top three greatest films? And I don't know where you will place Citizen Kane now that you've been dissing it.
I mean, I've made it clear that I think Citizen Kane is extraordinary and very important. But at the moment, the three I'm going to come up with are His Girl Friday, Howard Hawks's version of the front page where he turns the second male part into a female part. That's Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell.
Oh, listen, Walter. You are no longer my husband and no longer my boss. And you're not going to be my boss.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I say.
You mean you're not coming back to work on the paper?
You are right, Mr. Burns, for the first time today.
Got a better offer, huh?
You bet I've got a better
all
offer.
All right, go on, take it, work for somebody else. That's the gratitude I get.
Oh, I wish you'd
stop panning. What were you when you came here 5 years ago? A little college girl from a school journalism. I took a doll-faced hick.
Well, you wouldn't take me if I hadn't been doll-faced.
Oh, why should I? I thought it'd be a novelty to have a face around here a man could look at without shuddering.
Listen, Walter.
Listen, I made a great reporter out of you, Hildy, but you won't be half as good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team, that's what we are. You need me, and I need you, and the paper needs
both American.
I'm going to name a French film of the 70s that not many people will know called Céline and Julie Go Boating, a film which is about film going itself. And for my third film, I'm going to name, just because I love the director so much, Michael Powell's The Red Shoes.
What do you want from life? To live?
To dance.
I will do the talking. You will do the dancing.
Good. You've left us something to go out and watch and
good,
maybe
good.
Rent.
Yes.
Yeah. I came across a review of your book by Jeff Dyer, who wrote in The Observer, saying that there's always the sense when you write about movies that there is more to film than meets the eye and that you are persistently groping towards a metaphysics of cinema. Do you think that's true?
Yes. Jeff is a good friend. His review is one I'm very proud of, very happy about. Yes, I mean, for me, cinema is a lifelong pursuit that ranges from Abbott and Costello to The Passion of Joan of Arc. And yes, I think there is ultimately some mysterious answer to all our beings in there.
So we really will find ultimate truth in the movies.
There is a rosebud for us all, yes.
See, you can't get away from Citizen Kane, even if you try.
I can't.
Rosebud.
David Thompson is the author of Have You Seen? A Personal Introduction to 1,000 Films. He spoke with Steve Paulson.